This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. The city of Kalamazoo's master plan for Bronson Park includes a plan to refurbish the Fountain of the Pioneers. The city is raising $2.8 million for the project. The fountain has been a source of controversy for years. Critics say it depicts racism against Native Americans. Supporters say that the artist was trying to portray historical events. Joining us are Pat Lynn. She is part Cherokee. Her employment career includes the Cook County Court System in Illinois and the Berry County Youth Service Bureau. And we're also joined by Yvonne Moore. She's part of the Mackinac Band of Odawa. She is a psychology professor at several institutions and also a therapist for Native American clients. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So if you are taking a walk through Bronson Park and you look up and you see the Fountain of the Pioneers, what is the impression that you, as a Native American, take from that? Yvonne, you want to start?
Well, first of all, I find it offensive in several ways. First, we have a man standing with a club that promotes violence. We are in a nation that we need to not promote violence in any way, and we need to show respect to one another. The second part is a supposedly Native American Indian with a full headdress on. My understanding and within my belief system, the headdress is only used in ceremonies. So this is more like a Hollywood moment. And for that reason, I find it offensive on so many levels, I probably couldn't count that far. If we're going to tell the truth, we need to depict the truth. And an image, once seen, can never be unseen. And my concern is anybody who sees it, what do they think? What do they feel? And I think it's offensive, and I feel sad. I feel so sad because it hurts. And I don't like untruths. And I think it's so important that we portray, particularly to children, young adults, what's good and what's right in our society. Yes, we can't change the past, but we do need to move forward in a positive way, in a way that empowers people. And the statue is not representing anybody being empowered except a man with a club. And I just truly find that offensive. And we're just promoting Hollywood again. The media has this depiction of Indians running off on horses with this ceremonial headdress, which is not true. We can't depend on what Hollywood and the media portrays. We want to tell our own truth and our own story.
Pat?
When I look at that statue, it's almost like I only see the club. And right away, it tells me, oh, here's one more symbol of white supremacy over an oppressed people, Native people. And we're in a time when we just cannot allow that any longer. So when I initiated this, let's revisit this with the mayor, it was after Standing Rock, it was after Charlottesville, it was after the election of a president who has stated racist things, does not denounce white supremacy. We're in a time of white supremacy, white nationalism rising. And I don't want that trauma to be revisited on us over and over and over and over again. It is time to heal the wounds of white supremacy. They don't just affect people of color. They affect everyone. The sad thing is people who identify as white often don't even recognize the privileges that they have as white people. And so for them to really understand what this means to us can be very, very difficult. And what we're really asking the commissioners and the people who identify as white in this community is to have empathy for us, to begin to understand that the historical trauma not only happened hundreds of years ago, it still happens now. Every single time somebody who has experienced white supremacy or racism sees a club, they can go, oh, I remember when somebody in power used that power over me, and it wasn't good, and it didn't feel good, and it hurt, and it still hurts, and I'm still traumatized by it.
So, if it were up to you, I'm assuming you would say the Fountain of the Pioneers should be taken down. Would you want to see it anywhere else? Should it be in a museum, or should it just be locked away somewhere and never seen again?
I personally think it belongs in a museum. It is a story of one little piece of the story of Native people, that our land was stolen by pioneers who moved west. But people who say, I want that statue to stay because it reminds me and reminds us of what white people did to Native people, to me, that's whitewashing the whole history, because there's so much more to the history that includes genocide, includes the boarding schools, it includes the bounty hunting for quote-unquote Redskins. I mean, I could go on and on and on. And there are still things that are happening. Native women are much more often raped, are much more often domestically abused, the rate of alcoholism, all of these things. So yeah, I want it removed, but I don't think it has to be destroyed. I think in a museum it be part of a context of telling the whole story.
Is there any way to provide that context in Bronson Park? You know, the sculpture there, but perhaps a historical marker that has the context that you just mentioned there spelled out so people see it's a sculpture, but here's the bigger story that goes with it.
Well, first of all, you have to be realistic. People are going to look at the statue and the fountain. And as I said before, the image you see, you can never unsee. The average person can only read about fifth grade. The average family probably is not going to stop and read anything that's on a marker. If a child sees it, there's no way they're going to stop and read unless they're an exceptional child. So trying to make it okay by putting something up there is verbiage that people aren't going to read. Now, for me personally, I think the fountain and the statue are two different things. I like fountains. I like the fact that it's a symbol of water. I'm a water protector. Water is life. So I would separate. I would leave the fountain, but I would take the statue away. That way we're promoting a place of tranquility, of peace, because they're opposing factors. You have a fountain. You have an area that you want peace and tranquility and people to feel safe. And then you got somebody clubbing somebody. It doesn't make sense. It's contrary to what we want to believe. And we need to be looking forward. And as I understand it, Kalamazoo City wants to be remembered as the welcoming city. Well, you know, if somebody comes from another country, can't speak English, and they look at that, what's the message they're getting? This man, this person up here is clubbing that person. That is not peaceful, it's violent, and it is not promoting a city that is welcoming. It's just promoting violence.
So again, going back to context, is there a different sort of experience that you think someone's going to have in a museum that they are there perhaps to get some sort of an education, a cultural education, that may not be the case for someone in a park? They could be there for any number of reasons, not necessarily to learn history or to read about the context of Native Americans and what happened, you know, in the settlement of this time.
Well, if you're going to a museum, you're usually higher educated, and there are people around who can answer your questions. So we have a person-to-person contact, and they can voice their opinions and give more. I mean, you can put just so much for a person to read, but somebody could also be giving a historical perspective as to how this impacted our society. And the very fact that historically now this statue has been removed because it did promote violence and it did not tell the truth. And the city of Kalamazoo was proactive and moved the fountain, or excuse me, the statue away because it isn't welcoming. It isn't a peaceful sign.
I had a quote recently. It was by a woman who's part of the Women's Voices Theater Festival, and I really like it. It said, "Let us walk towards our differences to build empathy and not be afraid of our differences and walk away from each other." And I think that's part of what's going on here, because the divisions are really along racial lines. And so we're really asking for empathy for what this would mean to have this remain, the statue remain in a public place like Bronson Park. To us, it would mean we can't heal yet. This symbol, this image is still there right in our face of what has been perpetrated upon us and is continuing to be perpetrated upon us. I believe if Kalamazoo wants to say it is a welcoming city, it needs to endorse the concept of healing. How can we help people heal who have been affected by racism, by white supremacy, not just in some other country, but here? And when I read part of the master plan, it's under the historical thing, and I thought, okay, here's the justification for removing that statue. It said, let us give primary consideration to continuity while acknowledging change in the cultural landscape. The cultural landscape in 2018 has changed from 2015, when the commissioners said okay to that plan. It has changed so dramatically that we just can't allow an image of white supremacy to continue to be in a public place and assume that that is okay. It's just not okay.
So the leaders of the Machi Benashi Wish Band of Potawatomi sent the city commission a letter regarding the statue. I want to read a little bit of it and have you react. History cannot be revised or erased by simply tearing down controversial artwork because of interpretations. Removing the Iannelli sculpture will not change the fact that many of our Potawatomi relatives were, in fact, forcibly removed west of the Mississippi River. In spite of this action, we still remain, live, and thrive as one of the three Potawatomi Indian nations in southwest Michigan. Again, the point being that you can't change that history. So, you know, how do you respond to that letter from this particular band of the Potawatomi?
We want to heal. Nobody's saying we can change history. We know that. But we want to heal. And we want to heal from the trauma of white supremacy and racism. That's the bottom line.
And personally, I don't think it's just a Potawatomi issue. They're not saying it's a Potawatomi person standing there. Yes, there are three reservations in a triangle around Kalamazoo. I don't see it as a Potawatomi issue. I see it as a Native American Indian. Nowhere does it say this is a Potawatomi person. And how the tribe thinks and feels is their right, and I think they should be able to practice that. I'm saying from a psychological point of view, it's harmful. And if it's harmful for the one, it's harmful for everybody. It's not a race issue if you're promoting violence. We need to stop that. We've got school shootings. People, what's going on? Are there so many negative issues that children are picking up on? Also, as a clinical psychologist, I saw my first American Indian who had suffered from boarding school trauma 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. Historical trauma is exactly that, a history of trauma. I am now seeing a fourth generation of children who've been raised with parents and grandparents who have endured psychological trauma. And the only way we can do it is to take an image like that away. If I was to bring somebody who had been in the boarding school and they saw that, their response would probably be very close to collapse and tears, because it's violent. We have enough violence. We've got to move exactly what Pat is saying. We've got to heal. And healing is learning to live together and respecting. And if you respect people, first and foremost, everything else falls into place. Because if you respect somebody, you love them. If you respect somebody, you treat them right. So if we look at just as respecting all of us, you're not going to promote a statue of violence in a public place.
So what's the right way, if that's the term here that we want to use, correct way, to note an event, to historically remember an event, which does include some troubling and tragic elements of it. What's the right way to remember that in a memorial or in public art?
Well, Germany, for instance, has a very interesting way of dealing with things. It is forbidden to have any statuary that symbolizes Nazism, Hitler, etc., that whole era. But every single day, every school child discusses some form of what happened historically. So they never forget their history, and they never forget the kind of thing that humans are capable of doing to other humans. So the only remembrance are there are little plaques here and there. There's a plaque that might say, here was a Jewish family that was removed. So there are plaques that people can see, but there's nothing that's going to, like, hit you in the gut like the image of that Iannelli statue. So I am very, very supportive of all the signage that the tribe wants. I think it's important to tell the story. Whoever reads it will read it and be informed by it. We don't know how many people will read, but hopefully they will. Some will, and understand that this was once upon a time a reservation that was given to them and taken away very quickly, and they were told to remove. So it is an important piece of history that people in Kalamazoo need to know, but it's also time for us to heal.
Knowing your story, whatever it is, where you came from, who you are, and your ancestors, is something that we all need to know. I can remember the first time that I got asked to speak about this. I relate to my clients, my patients, my people, and the repeated trauma of one more thing that makes me look less than human. If I'm called a redskin, what does that mean? I've known people who are American Indians and they've played on basketball teams and they were women. And they were called red niggers. So we don't want to keep reporting or you're repeating that same story. We have to come up with things that are positive. And I'm all for teaching in the schools. What's good and right? What do we know that the Native population has done? Who's contributed? In every race, many have contributed. And we need to focus on what's the good and right of people instead of all of the negative things. I'm not entirely sure what's going on in schools today. I think it's interesting that the schools in Germany do that. How could we incorporate that? It seems to me like 40 years ago when I was teaching second grade, we had some kind of what's going on today in the world, and students would talk about it. If given an opportunity and children are allowed to talk, there's a lot of things that come out that are important. And I also think of the statue. Would we tolerate if Hitler was standing there with a hypodermic needle And we had Jews, priests, nuns, because it wasn't just the Jews that he got rid of. We think of that, but we don't think about the other people. What would we do? How long would that statue stay up? Oh, yeah, that's history, but doesn't make it right.
Pat Lynn and Yvonne Moore, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.